It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America. I hope you're great. I hope you're tremendous. Happy Wednesday to you. I hope you've had a good one. I hope you're already in set for the March Madness. Damn it, we had two games yesterday to get us ready for the first four. We got two more games to get us ready for the first four. We'll talk about that, get into North Carolina's win last night, talk more NCAA. A matter of fact, in about 20 minutes, we're going to have a conversation with Cameron Solano. He's going to join us from CBS Sports. He covers all things college basketball. March Madness is here. Aaron Rodgers will not be in Minnesota. Apparently, they said, we don't want you, at least for right now. Is Kirk Cousins going to return to Minnesota? I don't know about that. We'll find out soon enough. Meanwhile, Kirk Cousins is going to be on Netflix's The Quarterback. We'll look into that. The NFL, we got a bunch of owners who are proposing some changes to the playoffs, to some of the rules. We'll get into that. NHL is thinking about their All-Star game. Earlier today, the Dodgers played the Cubs again, and guess what? The Dodgers won. What a shock. Speaking of the opposite of winning, you got losers. The Dallas Cowboys still have not tendered Micah Parsons a contract. And then, of course, it's Wednesday. Every single Wednesday, I bring you a new top six list. And today, because the madness is upon us, we're going to take a look at six of the biggest March Madness upsets ever. Talking about first round, I'm looking at the championship game. I'm going to give you some of the biggest upsets that we have ever seen during the NCAA tournament. And who knows? I mean, over the next several weeks, between now and April, we just might have some more. We'll get into that. The top six list, as I do every Wednesday, is coming your way 2 hours from now. If you want to be a part of the show, you can. The phone number here is 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Thank you to everybody tuned in on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, channel 375. If you got a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. Real simple. As I told you, you can find me everywhere online. I am at JR Sport Brief. Yeah, that same thing where if you fill out a perfect bracket, you can get shot straight to Mars, courtesy of Elon Musk. Congratulations. Thank you to our board op helping to hold things down today. You'll be here tomorrow as well. Greg Frank. Thank you to Greg. And thank you as well to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. Ryan, you doing good? Happy, what's today? Wednesday to you.
Happy March Madness Eve, JR.
Did you fill out that bracket yet?
No, not yet.
What are you waiting on? What are you going to do at 11:59 tomorrow?
I'm going to do it after the show tonight.
Okay.
Maybe on the way home, get some thinking done.
All right.
And probably have it done, hopefully, yeah. But I'm going to shoot for midnight tonight. Done, submitted, ready to go.
Okay, we got Greg Frank here. Greg, did you fill out a bracket? Did you do this?
I sure did.
When did you do it? Like on Sunday night?
No, I did it yesterday.
Okay, good man. Good man. Hickey, why are you we're so tardy here?
I know. Usually I try to do it Monday, maybe Tuesday. Just, I don't know, just the kind of things got away from me. And all of a sudden now it's like, honestly, this week has flown by. It also gone so slow at the same time, if that makes sense. Like,
okay,
I feel like I'm ready for the games, but also feel like it's dragged on to where all of a sudden wake up, it's Wednesday. Oh, boy, I got to get this done. So
okay,
classic kind of wait till last minute kind of guy. So that's what we're going to do this year.
Oh, good on you. Good on you. I will not be filling out a bracket. Just Duke all the way. No, just Duke all the way, man.
So no Final Four picks for me. You just give a national championship pick, and that's it.
That's it, man. Yeah.
Look at you.
I'm not winning any money, so I'm not filling out no bracket.
And you definitely don't want to win a trip to Mars. So
I don't want to win a trip to Mars.
Can't win a trip to Mars if you don't enter the contest.
I forgot to send you and Marco. I hit send on it in a little while. I saw an article that said that the astronauts only get paid another $50,000. That's it.
Wait, for being up there all year?
Yeah. They already, approximately, make, I think, about $125. So they're government employees.
Right.
You would think, hey, you're an astronaut. Yes, you're a government employee working for NASA, but you know, you're being shot into the God only knows where. So, you know, let's pay you a mil as like a base salary or something for a day or two. No, Their base salary is approximately $125 to $150. And then if all things add up over time and what have you, they get another 50. That's it.
That's it? There's no hazard pay?
To be up in space and have your cancer risk raised just a little bit and your eyes flatten out and lose your bone density. Yeah, 50K.
Oh, my. That's, I mean, yeah, not worth it.
And what do you think happens if you go to Mars for 3 years?
Again, you know your price or your prizes? Lucky to be alive. You hey, come there and back in one piece. Woof, wow, we're surprised, but hey, good on you.
You know what, Hickey? I don't want to put you in the same category. But one day, when they actually do that, I might be dead. And I'd be perfectly fine with that, okay?
When they actually do what?
You think we'll be alive when they send somebody to Mars and back? You think we'll be alive?
If they're advertising this is the prize, I mean, I'm assuming they're close.
They sent the rover. The rover is out there, so.
Right. I mean, I did not exactly look at the rules of the contest.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think you're advertising a trip to Mars if, like, there's an asterisk on the bottom in 50 years from now, this is when you can go. I would say this, within the next 5 years, I bet you we're there.
I'm going to try, you know, you got to fill this stupid thing out, but I'm going to try to identify fine print. And we'll see what that looks like.
Yeah,
but
I'm curious about that.
Yeah, shout outs to everybody out there trying to get that bracket together. Like I said, I got Duke going all the way. And we got games today. We finish up the first four. I want to call it the first final four, but it doesn't make any sense. We got Mount St. Mary's taking on American. That winner will go ahead and play Duke, which is a death wish. And then you have Xavier taking on the Texas Longhorns. And who wins that matchup will go ahead and play Illinois. So just like last night, we'll keep you up to date on everything that's going on. Hopefully we get some close games like what we got with St. Francis and Alabama State. And not the whooping that we got. And tuning in to North Carolina and San Diego State. We're going to talk all things NCAA. Cameron Salerno is going to join us from CBS Sports. He will be here in about 15 minutes. We'll have that conversation. And so those are basketball games that are going to start, well, pretty much the first one is going to get going in about 30 minutes from now. But I got to tell you about something that took place earlier today. And we finally got a little bit of breaking news as it relates to Aaron Rodgers. The Minnesota Vikings said, no thanks to bringing on this 41-year-old quarterback who wants to come, he wants to stay, he wants to leave, he wants to retire, he wants his wide receivers, he wants to do podcasts, he wants to do documentaries, he wants to be a complete pain in the backside, and not just go out there and play football. The Minnesota Vikings said, no thanks. I want you to listen to this report. This is courtesy of Tom Pelissero. This is earlier today on the NFL Network.
I am told the Vikings have rejected multiple trade calls involving their young quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, telling teams they are moving forward with McCarthy as their quarterback. Minnesota is still interested in adding a veteran, whether through free agency or a trade, but I am told they are not pursuing Aaron Rodgers. J.J. McCarthy now enters the offseason as QB1.
Well, let's keep in mind why we're even here. J.J. McCarthy tore his meniscus last summer. Sam Darnold was the starting quarterback. Sam Darnold was damn good all throughout the course of the season, 35 touchdowns to 12 interceptions, until it was time to take on the Lions, until it was time to, you know, have some stiff competition at the end of the season where he needed to win a division and ultimately win a playoff game. He stunk. The team stunk as a result. And so now with Sam Darnold gone in Seattle, they need a quarterback, right? You just can't throw J.J. McCarthy out to the Wolves, right? Yeah, fine, great. He had a year championship in Michigan, didn't have to throw the football. Has a year just to sit behind Sam Darnold. Is that the greatest, I guess? Now we're just going to make him the starting quarterback? Apparently the Minnesota Vikings will still ultimately bring in a veteran. You just can't say, hey, J.J., this is your job. If he sucks, if he blows out his knee again, if he needs to be benched, you got to have a decent option back there, especially for a team that just went 14-3. That veteran, apparently right now, won't be Aaron Rodgers. And so when it comes down to J.J. McCarthy, who didn't play at all last season on a torn meniscus, what's next? Is he good to go? Tom Pelissero also said he's good.
J.J. McCarthy's knee, in which he had surgery for a torn meniscus last year, cost him his rookie season, I am told, is not an issue. He has put weight back on. He's weighing upwards of 200 pounds. He's been working out at the facility regularly and really looks good.
Well, good for him. Yeah, because he was skinny the last time we saw him standing around. He's been eating that chicken, that beef, salmon, vegetables. Oh, he been eating that rice, put them carbs in there too. Yeah, put that weight on. If this man played for the Cincinnati Bengals, Hickey, he would still be emaciated, okay? Yeah, he would. Cincinnati Bengals would be like, man, you want to gain weight? Go to the supermarket, man. Go figure it out.
I was going to say, he'd either be emaciated or broke, one of the two.
What, trying to buy the food to put the weight on?
Exactly right. He'll put the weight on. He'll be ready to play, but it's going to cost him a pretty penny to do so.
Yeah, Bengals are like, listen, man, we're paying you money. You go buy your own lunch and dinner. Matter of fact, while you're at it, go get your own physical trainer if you want to bulk up, okay? You figure it out. That's the Cincinnati Bengals way, especially now that they're paying all of these wide receivers, Higgins and Chase. They got to pay them all this cash. Trey Hendrickson is still looking for a job, by the way. I don't think he's going to get paid by the Cincinnati Bengals. But when it comes to the Minnesota Vikings, it's interesting to me that apparently they're leaving the door ajar. Like, if J.J. McCarthy is not good, if he's not healthy, if he stinks, then they're going to extend an olive branch to Aaron Rodgers? Do we really think that this is going to be the case? Aaron Rodgers is going to have to make up his mind by then. Like, and leave it to Aaron Rodgers to say, you know what? I know it's March. Let me just wait until, I don't know, July. Let me get into August. I mean, damn it, you got to get acquainted with the wide receivers. I remember Aaron Rodgers made it very clear when it came down to the New York Jets. He said he was going to make his decision based on what the Jets wanted to do. Well, we know the Jets did not want Aaron Rodgers. And even in saying that, Aaron Rodgers said he was going to make the decision expeditiously because he didn't want to hold anything up. Hickey, do you remember him saying that?
Oh, yeah. I feel like he said it also multiple times, like with the Packers before he even left the Jets. He's going to come to his decision about, I mean, this was like even back in 2021, 2022, retire, come back. I'll make it pretty quickly. And then future, but he's going to stay in Green Bay or go to the Jets and ask for a trade. I'll make that decision pretty quickly. He never does.
Yeah, and so here we are. It is March 19th. The league year has been open for 2025 for about a week. We had a Pittsburgh Steeler and Cam Hayward basically come out and say, listen, I don't need to pitch Aaron Rodgers. If he wants to be here, then just come join the Steelers, man. Why do I need to join some wellness retreat? I'm not pitching him. And if Aaron Rodgers goes to the New York Giants, Aaron Rodgers is just a loser. Just go ahead and retire. It's nothing, nothing for Aaron Rodgers with the New York Giants. Nothing. Except for wearing one more uniform that will make him look bad at the end of his career. The Minnesota Vikings have said no thank you right now. If Aaron Rodgers wants to finish his career, he wants to try to go out on a decent note and one last Hail Mary, something that he has been good at in his career, man, just go join the Steelers. Yeah, it'd have been nice to play inside in a familiar division, the NFC North. It'd be nice to go back. You know, Minnesota, if you beat them so many times with the Packers. Oh, yeah, it'd all be nice. Jefferson, Addison, and Jones, who you played with, it'd be nice, but they don't want you. And I can't blame the Minnesota Vikings for saying, look, J.J. McCarthy, if he's ready, that's our guy. We might as well give him the reps right now, then go through a year, an unnecessary year, of the Aaron Rodgers experience. Would the Vikings been the best option for Aaron Rodgers? Hell yeah, the Vikings would have been the best option. But they ain't a relationship worth it if there's no mutual interest. If they don't want you, you can't beg, you can't plead, baby, baby, please. There's none of that. You got to go to someone where you want it. Go play for the Steelers, Aaron Rodgers, or do us all a favor. And retire, please. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're just getting warmed up. If you want to be a part of the show, you can. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I told you it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday, I bring you a new top six list. Today, we're going to take a look at some of the biggest March Madness updates ever. We'll do that top six list in a couple of hours. We'll keep you up to date on the final first four games as they get underway shortly. We'll talk some more football. Steph Curry finally got his rest yesterday. Jimmy Butler took over. The Warriors are looking good with him at the helm. Draymond wants to be Defensive Player of the Year. Shohei Ohtani hitting home runs back home in Japan. We have so much to get into. When we come back on the other side, we're going to dive into some college basketball. We're going to have a chat with Cameron Salerno. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Oh, I love the A-team. I loved it. I pitied a fool. Anyway, right now we're not going to talk to a fool. We're going to talk to someone very knowledgeable because we're getting ready to finish up with the first four games. We're getting ready to head on into the field of 64 when it comes down to March Madness. And we're being joined by someone who covers it all courtesy of CBS Sports. Joining us right now is an expert of college basketball. It's Cameron Salerno. Cameron, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. It's the best time of year. I mean, first games yesterday were awesome. I mean, North Carolina obviously, you know, made their case why they should be an NCAA tournament team. Then how about that first game? I mean, Alabama State, that was an awesome finish, and that's what March Madness is all about. So great start to the day, two more really good games tonight, and then obviously just a full slate of awesome games tomorrow. So yeah, best time of year, I think.
It's fun to see Alabama State come out on top yesterday with a little bit of a nail biter, and UNC with a little bit of an ass whooping. Have they validated? Have they validated their appearance? I mean, they're favorite to win their next matchup.
I wrote about this today on CBSSports.com. I picked North Carolina to go to the Elite Eight when I filled out my bracket on Sunday. I know there was like that, the play-in game where, you know, it still shows up as two teams when you pick them, when you're filling out your bracket. But I really believe that North Carolina was going to go on a run. I felt like it was going to be pretty obvious that they were going to go on a run. Like, I feel like it happens almost every year. The last team that's, you know, not supposed to get in necessarily gets in, goes to the first four, makes a statement, and then goes on a mini run themselves. I mean, even look at what North Carolina did a few years ago when they went to the Final Four last. They were a number eight seed, and they beat number one Baylor. And then they, you know, got a favorable matchup, obviously, in the Elite Eight when they played St. Peter's, the Cinderella of that tournament, that obviously beat Duke and lost to Kansas in the title game. But, I mean, just the area of the bracket they're in, I know the South region is a gauntlet with Auburn, but I really think they have a chance to go the Elite Eight from that side. But I still think people will say that, you know, their inclusion in the tournament wasn't validated because a team like West Virginia or Indiana or Boise State should have got in over them. But I think they showed last night that they absolutely deserve to belong. And I don't think there really was a question about if they are talented enough to be an NCAA tournament team. I mean, this was a AP top 25 team we're talking about in the preseason, a brand in North Carolina that's one of the biggest blue bloods of the sport.
Yeah.
So they absolutely have the talent to go on a run. But, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I think people will still be skeptical and think they shouldn't have got in. But obviously last night they proved a lot of people wrong that maybe said that San Diego State was going to win.
You talk about how tough it is in that South bracket and where Auburn sits at number one overall. But we know they've been slumping heading into the tournament. What are your overall thoughts on what we might see from them outside of probably Wax and Alabama State?
I still think Auburn is the best team in the country as of right now. I mean, I wrote about, I think Duke has a strong case for that title too. And, you know, they're all on the other side of the bracket, which I think is a good thing because if both teams obviously run the table, then that's the title game we would get. I don't think people should panic about Auburn because they really showed the entire season that they were, for better or worse, they were the best team in college basketball. And obviously they had that, slow ended the season, which, you know, included a loss to Texas A&M, and then obviously that buzzer beater against Alabama at Auburn, and then obviously a loss in the SEC tournament. I wouldn't panic about Auburn. They still have, you know, one of the best players in the sport, Jahni Broome, who is just an absolute beast. And they have just high-level role players that, you know, are essential to making a deep tournament run. So I wouldn't panic about Auburn yet. You know, people might still panic about them, but I still think they are the overwhelming favorites to come out of the South region.
Cameron Solano is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. Coast to Coast covers all things college basketball for CBS Sports. Quite the opposite. We got the Gators, who are our hottest fish grease. And they're 7 foot nine, 8 foot, 9 foot, 10 foot, 11 foot, 12 foot guy. He doesn't even play. He's not playing this year. What are your thoughts on the Gators here in the tournament?
I really don't think they have a weakness. I mean, they have stellar guard play, which Walter Clayton is arguably one of the best guards in the entire country. And then Elijah Martin, who has NCAA tournament experience with FAU back when he played on that Final Four team a few years ago. Alex Condon is just a great center down low. Just their overall big man depth, I think it's just, you know, some of their depth pieces would be starters on some of these tournament teams. Like, that's how good they are. So, yeah, they come to the tournament, I think, super hot. The West region, though, man, that's going to be a gauntlet. I mean, just the teams that are in there. I mean, with obviously St. John's at the very bottom at number two, Florida number one, Maryland number four, and Texas Tech at number three, who I really think Texas Tech is a potential sleeper in that field. I know a lot of people are talking about St. John's and a lot of people are talking about Florida, but keep an eye on Texas Tech. I mean, J.C. Toppin is one of the best and most underrated players in the entire country. Like, he's an absolute beast. And, you know, there's a lot of people who I joke with that if you stay up and watch Mountain West hoops late at night last season, you would watch him a lot when he was at New Mexico. And then obviously now he's having a great season at Texas Tech. But yeah, keep an eye on Texas Tech. I still think they have a really strong chance to come out of that bracket, especially, you know, if there's an upset, because if Florida wins their first round matchup and the number eight seed in that region wins their first round matchup, then you have UConn versus Florida in the second round, which, you know, is not necessarily a great draw for a team like Florida, who, you know, have to play the two-time reigning national champions in the second round. So that's a brutal matchup for them.
Yeah, well, the sooner we get our Hurley out of here, the better, because we don't need to hear his mouth. When you think about some of these other teams, for people who haven't filled out their brackets yet, besides Texas Tech, are there teams that you have a good feeling about advancing?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Gonzaga just because I trust Mark Few. I mean, the last time they didn't reach the Sweet 16 was over 9 years ago. I mean, they just are consistent. They know how to get deep into the tournament, whether they're, you know, a number one seed or, you know, lower than that. I mean, they played Kansas last year. I believe Gonzaga was the five and Kansas was the four, if I recall correctly. And they just smoked them. And it wasn't even close. I think they have a tough matchup in the second round if they get there with Houston. Houston, I think, this is their best team. They're better than last year. Like, they are incredible. And I've been saying this before, too. Whoever wins that matchup between Houston and Gonzaga in the second round, that is indeed the matchup, it's going to go to the Final Four out of that region. So I really like the Zags out of that area. I mean, just there's some really good matchups tomorrow. I'm looking at the schedule. I mean, you have High Point versus Purdue, which, you know, I think people know about how Purdue has been upset multiple times in the last few years. So keep an eye on High Point. You know, VCU, I really like their team, too, versus BYU. Drake in Missouri is a very popular pick for an upset. But one team I will say, too, I think is kind of getting, I wouldn't say disrespected, but maybe a little underrated, Michigan. Oh, I think a lot of people are picking UC San Diego over Michigan, which is very acceptable. UC San Diego, great story. Like, they're a very enjoyable team to watch. They're fun. They're a great story. But I think people are forgetting that Michigan just won the Big Ten title about 3 or 4 days ago. And, you know, they have a matchup nightmare for teams with two bigs, with Vlad Goldman and Danny Wolf, who Danny Wolf is a super fun player to watch as well. So I think he's going to become a tournament darling as well. But I still think people should not sleep on Michigan. I think Michigan has a chance to, you know, they'd offer a really interesting matchup for Auburn if that's indeed the matchup in the South.
Cameron Solano is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. Let's get to brass tacks. Is Duke winning the whole tournament? Like Cooper Flagg and Knuppel, they're just going to be shooting threes and dunking on people, right?
I Duke was my pick to win the title. I really feel strongly about that. I think Duke has the perfect blend of talent and veteran leadership. They have Tyrese Proctor. They have Zion James. They have Caleb Foster from last year. They have Mason Gillis, who was a reserve on Purdue last year, and he was on their title team. And then, obviously, the three freshmen you talked about, or well, the other one, too, Colin Malwatch, he's a really good center. And then, you know, Cooper Flagg as well. And Colin is a lights-out shooter, and he's playing his best basketball, I think, of his entire season right now. So Duke is, I think, the team to beat. I would love to see an Auburn versus Duke matchup just because we saw it play out once. And, you know, it was a really, really exciting game. And also, in that game, if you remember right, Isaiah Evans came off the bench, and he's a five-star freshman that, you know, plays sparingly for this Duke team. And he came off the bench and had a huge game. So you're always looking for those unsung heroes. You know, 10 years ago, Grayson Allen came off the bench in the title game against Wisconsin and had a great performance. So you never know. Maybe Isaiah Evans gets his name called deep in the tournament and has another one of those games.
Oh, you talk about Grayson Allen. How many people did he trip in that game? Do we have those stats?
that was pre-tripping Grayson Allen. That's when he was a true freshman at Duke, and he played a lot in that tournament. That was a really good chance. That was a really good Final Four. That was 10 years ago. That was when Wisconsin beat Kentucky, upset Kentucky, who was one of the best teams ever. And, you know, Duke obviously beat Michigan State. So that was a really, really loaded Final Four. So maybe we'll get one of those again this year as well.
Man, you talk about Coach Cal, and we had this conversation yesterday about so many of the coaches who have moved on, and obviously Coach Cal now at Arkansas. What are your thoughts on kind of the if I dare say, some of the new blood that we have coaching right now?
As far as just like, you know, like new coaches in the sport right now?
Oh, new coaches who are taking prominence. We got the Coach K's of the world and the Boeheims who are gone, and you know, we still got Pitino, obviously.
You can't forget about Rick Pitino, man. Like he's just an old soul. Like he just like what a cool. I mean, no matter what happens with St. John's, like I feel like whenever I watch them play, like I don't want to believe they are really, really good and like have like a Final Four ceiling. But every time I watch them, I just like I can't take my eyes off them. Like they're so gritty. They play so tough and they embody Rick Pitino. But kind of like you said, like the new era of coaches is definitely upon us. I mean, obviously John Shire has a chance to get to his first Final Four ever, which would be huge for his resume. A guy like Dusty May, who I mentioned earlier with Michigan, like he went to a Final Four with FAU, and now he has a chance to, you know, potentially guide Michigan to a deep tournament run. I mean, we saw like it just one tournament or two tournaments can change your entire perception for better or worse. I mean, Dan Hurley was, you know, I would say like an above average coach a few years ago when he first got to UConn. And now, I mean, people consider him, you know, I won't say it on air, but in his own words, he said he's the best coach in the sport. Right. You know, he definitely have to believe him. I mean, his resume backs it up. So he definitely is really promising. So I think this tournament has huge stakes just because, you know, like I said, if Duke wins the title, like John Shire is going to assert himself at the very, very top of those top coaches. So, anything can happen this tournament. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing kind of how the new blood, like you said, takes center stage.
Yeah, Shire will be looking for a little uptick in salary if he walks away with that championship and cuts down the nets. Hey, Cameron, where can people follow you and all of your work and writings, et cetera, for CBS Sports?
Yeah, just go to Cameron Salerno on CBSSports.com or follow me on Twitter at Cameron Salerno1. That's where you can find all my work. We've been writing. We've been staying busy with NCAA tournaments. So it's definitely the most exciting time of the year, but it's also the most busy. So it's definitely rewarding to see it all play out. And I think, honestly, like I said, I've been to some really, really cool sporting events in my lifetime, but nothing beats March Madness. It's the best sport in the world.
And not a damn thing. You're right about that, Cameron. Thank you so much for the time. We'll catch you down the line, okay?
Thanks for having me on.
No doubt about it. That Cameron Salerno, writer, covers all things college basketball for CBS Sports. I'm going Duke all the way. Why? Because Cooper Flagg is healthy. It's as simple as that. And then, you know what? Janai Broome, we can put that whole conversation to rest. It's not going to matter who wins player of the year. Because I think if you put Auburn and you put Duke on the court at the same time in the national championship, I think Duke is walking away with the victory. I'd rather have the national championship as I go into the NBA draft than player of the year. It's just me. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You want to give me a holler? You can. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're getting ready for another first four matchup between Mount St. Mary's and American. They're minutes away from getting started. When we come back on the other side of the break, we're minutes away from that. We're going to talk about something else that you'll be able to see, at least in a few months. We got a bunch of quarterbacks who had their seasons documented for your viewing pleasure. We'll talk about that, and one of these quarterbacks could be returning to the Minnesota Vikings. What? I'll explain on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Cameron Salerno for joining us in the last break to talk some college basketball action. It's already underway. Hey, the next matchup in the first four, the third matchup out of four games, we got Mount St. Mary's, an American currently going at it. Who's this? American leads 8-7 right now. They're playing close. So just underway. We'll keep you up to date on the game as it continues on. Cameron Salerno's a genius. Like me, it doesn't take a genius to go ahead and pick Duke to win it all. And that's exactly what I'm doing. If you missed that conversation with Cameron, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. If you want to call me, you can do that too. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Before we went to break, on the way to break, outside of looking at Duke and thinking about Florida and Auburn and guy like Dusty May, Hickey, I love it in college basketball, and I've spoken to Dusty May. He's been here on the show a bunch. I just always find it interesting. The coaches, they always love where they're at until they're not there anymore, and they just go to greener pastures. It doesn't matter. It's like, what's the next step? Where can I go? I could love a place, but the thing that I got to do like everybody else is I got to go get the check.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen more roots planted than uprooted in the span of a week, a month. I mean, it's funny, too, with Will Wade. He didn't even wait for the tournament to start. And most coaches, at least, I love it here. I'm going to worry about that after. I'm worried about the kids and the game. Will Wade said, screw it. I'm out. Why hide it? Why keep it secret? As soon as this season's over, I am
gone. Yeah. Like, at least he's not selling anybody any crap. Like you said, he told everybody ahead of time. Is there a coach that I'll ever believe in my life? None. I don't think so. Like, is there such thing? Is there a loyal coach? Am I missing somebody? I mean, Tom Izzo has never moved, but he's built it up. Like, if Tom Izzo, like, I mean, oh, he's a little different. Where could he have ever gone, right? Like, Coach K was at Duke. He was never leaving anywhere. Wasn't going to North Carolina. Like, Tom Izzo got to be the most loyal guy who, I don't know if he could he have ever gone anywhere better? Probably not.
I don't, to your point, I mean, you win a title in 2000, so he kind of, you know, now he's been living off of that, right? So now it's like, oh, you know, I can't win here. I got to go somewhere else. He had that in his career. Like, do you look at someone like John Shire played there? Like, if he wins, like, is that someone you can see 20 years from now? We're talking about him the way we talk about Izzo?
He'll be there. He ain't going anywhere.
So that could be the next guy.
You take over for Coach K, it's like, I don't know. It's like being a Pittsburgh Steelers head coach, okay? You got that job for 15 or 20 years. As long as you can win something, you got that job for as long as you want. Just a wild space. You think about these coaches, they go wherever the hell they want. I just remember always Dusty May. Oh, I love it here. I love it. 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 And then he left. And speaking of that, Hickey, where's Juwan Howard? Is he coaching in the NBA somewhere and his assistant? What's he doing?
Yeah, I feel like didn't we just talk about him recently? No, he went to the NBA. Welcome back in college.
I know he's coaching on the Brooklyn Nets. Okay, wow. That's a hell of a job. Okay.
Gotta be careful when I walk those streets of Brooklyn.
What, because of him?
He's a fighter.
Oh, well, yeah. He slaps other coaches up. So as long as you're not on the basketball court on the near the scorer's table, he won't slap the living hell out of you. We'll see if he gets a job coaching in the NBA. I don't know. Good luck to Juwan Howard. Good luck to his kids. A lot of guys who have kids that are currently playing. I know his kid is playing. Speaking of Michigan, Jason Richardson's kid is playing out there, Jay. So a lot of familiar names and faces. There's even a whose kid did I see playing the other day? Mike Miller. Hickey, did you know Mike Miller has a kid playing?
I didn't know he had a kid, period.
Mike Miller. I'm like, how old is he? Did he have a kid when he was a teenager? Maybe, right?
He's not that far removed from the league to have a kid in college.
He is not. Oh, my God. I guess he is.
Oh, how old is
he? Wow. Mike Miller is 45 years old. I thought he was younger than that. You got to be kidding me. Wow. Yeah, his son Mason Miller plays for Creighton.
Hmm.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Whoa. I thought Mike Miller was a little bit younger than that. 45. Whatever works, whatever gets the job done. Nothing wrong with having some good genetics. Anyway, 888-710-4ISN. I told you before we went to break, you know, we talked about the Minnesota Vikings and them deciding to pass on this Aaron Rodgers guy. It's been reported that even though they might pass or have passed on Aaron Rodgers in order to put J.J. McCarthy out there, the Minnesota Vikings might explore a reunion with Kirk Cousins. I'm still trying to scratch my head about that one. And this is not some, you know, silly report from, you know, some clown on X. Adam Schefter said that the Minnesota Vikings may want him back. This is what he said on his own podcast.
Minnesota lost out on Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones. There's not an obvious solution. What if Minnesota just waits around till after the draft and then somehow figures out a way for Kirk Cousins to get to Minnesota as the backup to J.J. McCarthy? Wouldn't that make some sense, right? And maybe the Vikings can wait it out. The Falcons have been determined not to release him. I think the Falcons want to be able to say, we got something back for this guy that we paid so much to get. So maybe Minnesota says, you know what, it's worth it for us. We'll give you a sixth-round draft pick. They haven't solved the number two. JJ's coming off the injury. You still don't know what you're going to have. Let's solidify the position with Kirk Cousins. Doesn't that make sense?
Now, does that make sense for Kirk Cousins? Like, why would he want to go back to Minnesota? Like, why would he want to go back to Minnesota and be a backup? Kirk Cousins still believes that he can start. And I don't think Kirk Cousins is the type of guy who's going to run around and, you know, pitch a fit and go on social media and whine and complain online. Why would he want that? To be the backup, and I guess maybe if you look at his bank account, it's not going to matter too much. Because Kirk Cousins, in the first 2 years of his deal from last year and this year, he's guaranteed $65 million. And so from that perspective, do you want to go to Minnesota? I mean, the reason why he left Minnesota is so he can go to Atlanta and get paid. And not have to worry about some young quarterback taking his job. And that's exactly what happened in Atlanta. The Minnesota Vikings have already paid a ton of money to Kirk Cousins, approximately $185 million over the past 6 years. And I know the Atlanta Falcons certainly don't care about money. They just paid Kirk Cousins $10 million to stick around for, who knows, a couple more weeks or a couple more months. But unless they're eating more of that contract, why am I going to bother? Like, the ultimate goal here is the development of J.J. McCarthy. I'm keeping it simple. I'm keeping it light. Give Jameis Winston a job. That's it. I know everybody in Minnesota will be living on the edge of their seats, but is there another quarterback who you can bring in to keep things simple? And then knowing Kevin O'Connell, maybe he doesn't want the turnovers, or maybe he thinks he can just coach him out of them. But if I want to keep things, and I guess neither option is simple, you bring in Kirk Cousins, you're bringing in an entire story. You're bringing in an entire distraction. If you go ahead and you bring in Jameis Winston, you're bringing in a week-to-week story. How many interceptions did he throw? What was his pregame speech? What did he say postgame? And so maybe Minnesota doesn't want to deal with any of that. I guess if you entertain in bringing in Aaron Rodgers, you'll go for anything. Just bring in Jameis. Call it a day. Let somebody else deal with Kirk Cousins. A stupid team that likes to bring people on like, I don't know, the Browns. As simple as that. Hickey, what are your thoughts on that? What do you think Minnesota should do?
I like the Jameis suggestion. I think he'd be good in the locker room and a good leader. I just don't get it from Kirk's. I mean, I guess he's not really having that much say, but why would you want to go from one backup spot to another? I don't think bringing him back would be the best thing for J.J. McCarthy either when he had so much success there. Start fresh, bring in Jameis. He's not really a threat. Even if he starts a few games, he's not a threat to really put J.J.'s job in jeopardy. That's what you're looking for. That's, I think, the easiest way to go.
Yeah, you want competition. You want him to feel, I don't want to say threatened, but you want him to feel something. And Kirk Cousins is, it's like going back to your ex. Just a bad idea. It might work out for a few weeks, may work out for a few months. In a lot of cases, it might turn out ugly. I think I speak from experience, I think. I'm not sure. I have to go back in my memory bank. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Mount St. Mary's and American. They're tied up at 15 all right now, about halfway through the first half. I'll give you another update when we come back on the other side of the break. And then speaking of an update, the NFL might be updating and changing some of its rules. So will the NHL All-Star Game. We'll talk about this on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.